Let's turn in the scriptures now to the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 5, we'll be reading in Esther chapter 5 verses 1 through 14. Esther chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 1. These are God's infallible words, and so let's give our attention to them and to Him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." And the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said." Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. When Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Jeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, "Yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, "Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Those are God's words. Now if you remember the last we saw Queen Esther, she was in tears, grieving, and she was fasting with her maids and other Jews throughout Shushan, grieving over the whole situation as well as now seeking to go to appeal to the king, which was a very dangerous action, which he had not called her to him. And now we see through verse 8 that she does go before the king, and thankfully he held out his golden scepter so that she was not put to death. Queen Esther then requests of the king to have a banquet of which the king, and especially for Haman, would participate in. And this takes place on the day one of the banquet, we could say. And Queen Esther holds that banquet on that first day and asks for their attendance the second day, the next day, for another banquet. And then through the end of the chapter, we see that Haman goes out from that first day of the banquet, happy, joyful, rejoicing that he had come to be so, in a sense, blessed to have this position with the king, and also that the queen would, of all the people in the kingdom, not only invite the king, which of course is expected, but him and him alone. And so he goes out and he tells his friends, he tells his wife these things. And yet also as he's going out, he sees the man he hates, which has caused him to create this scheme to destroy all the Jews and Mordecai himself. And again, Mordecai does not show him honor, which creates a greater anger and indignation against Mordecai from Haman. But as he is boasting of his position now and his pride before his friends and his wife, he also relates to them about Mordecai, and this caused the friends and family to encourage him to build the gallows that is where for Mordecai, where Mordecai would be hung to death. That was his plan and their plan. And that's built at the end of the chapter, very last verse, you see that it was built. And that's the end of the chapter. So here you see the favor of the Lord, that the grace of God that He showed to Esther when she went in unto the king, to Mordecai and the Jews that we'll see in a little bit in the chapters ahead. We see here that favor, that grace from the Lord, not immediately, the king not immediately putting Esther to death when she came before the king when she was not invited. This was in God's good providence, as we're going to see. And how Haman responded to Queen Esther with joy. That's God's providence. And also how he responded to Mordecai with his friends and family. That's in God's providence as he boasted before them. And all of this will lead in God's providence to his own destruction. As you know, the pride, as the scriptures say, pride goes before the fall. And here he's found with great pride. And so here, friends, the God of all providence, and what he does does not always seem clear in the present time. And yet we trust him that his decree and his plan will work out always for the good of his people and for his glory. And so here we are at the end of chapter 5. Great threats are, even though Mordecai doesn't know it, besides what will happen in the 12th month to all the Jews, the gallows have been made for Mordecai. Doesn't seem good. But we know the God of all providence will bless his people and work all things together for their good. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful that we have been granted the privilege of coming together today as your people to worship you. For we don't deserve to worship you. We deserve the gallows for our sin against you. Father, we're thankful that you are a gracious and merciful God in Christ Jesus, your Son. That you have been gracious and merciful to us, your people, not only in the many of us, or hopefully all of us, but at least the many of us who have been saved. And you've turned our hearts to you by your Holy Spirit. And how gracious and merciful you have shown yourself to be to us. People who are most to be pitied, most to be condemned for our sin. And Father, we ask that you would pardon us of our sin and forgive us in Christ your Son by his blood. Cleanse us of our sin. Make us to be a holy people, a righteous people who are faithful to you, again, by your grace alone and in the righteousness of Christ alone. Father, you're merciful and gracious to us, your people. Thankful that Carla is feeling better from her car accident, though it's no accident that happened. It was in your providence. And we're thankful that you protected her from what often is a very critical and deathly situation. But here she is with us worshiping today. 1 week later, we're thankful for your healing and also your protection. Father, we're thankful that you answered our prayers concerning Sheila. She went to work and she made it through and wasn't all as bad as expected. And so we're thankful that she was able to do her work again and withstand all those things and her healing from her surgery. Father, we're thankful that you brought about Harper this week. And thankful that she's doing well, sleeping well, feeding well. And we're thankful also that Arian didn't have any real major complications and that everything went well. Father, we're thankful for this. This is your grace and mercy to your people. And Father, even in the hardships, the hard times, you're merciful to us. Again, because we deserve far worse. And Father, we ask that you would be with Chuck and Jeannie, not here today. We're thankful for their opportunity to visit Chuck's daughter in Maryland. We pray that you would give them safety as they travel home. And Father, we pray that you would bless that time, that you would grant Chuck opportunity to proclaim the gospel once again to her, that she would hear the scriptures, hear the good news, and believe unto salvation. Father, we pray for Dave and Patty, and Dave particular, as he is worshiping with the Shawnee congregation today as part of his duty for presbytery and visiting that congregation. We pray that you would grant him wisdom and discernment about what he's looking for, and but Father, also that you would bless that congregation, turn them to you, cause them to be faithful, as we pray the same for ourselves, that you would continue for both of our congregations here in the Kansas City area, reforming us, making us to be holy and righteous, a light in a dark place, and that we would be instruments that you use for the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we do as well pray for Steve. We're thankful that Steve met with the elders last Lord's Day, that he took the vows and became a member. We're thankful that we will be able to hear those vows taken today before us. We're thankful for his being united by your grace to us as a body, as a particular body of your entire bride, the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And so we are thankful for Steve. We pray that you would use him and cause him to serve well in this congregation, serve you as he serves one another, all of us, and that we would be able to serve him and be a blessing to him. And Father, we pray that same thing for all of us. As we have become members of your bride, the church, we pray that we would be godly servants of your church. Father, we're thankful once again for the good news of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the blessing of hearing children in worship. We know when those children are taken away, it is often a sign of judgment. When there are no cries, that is a sign of judgment often. And so, Father, we pray that you would continue to bless us with children. We pray that you would grant to these children that we hear, but also those still in the womb, Father, that you would grant to them salvation in Jesus Christ, even now, that they would today hear the good news and turn from their sins unto Christ the Savior, even grant them the very, very little knowledge that they need to do so. And we're thankful that the gospel is very simple. that even the young, even those struggling with disease and bodily impairments, they can still understand and believe. And yet, the gospel is also very complicated. And it goes to the great depths that we can never fully understand. And so we're thankful for the good news that is so very simple and yet so very deep and shows forth the great depths of the love of Christ and the love you have for us in Christ Jesus, your Son. And Father, we do pray today that your name would be praised forever, that you would grant to your people mercy and grace, and that you would uphold us from all harm. We pray that you would provide for us. There's some in our congregation who need provision. Provide for them. There are some in our congregation who need protection and guarding. Guarding even from the schemes of the devil. Protect them, Father. And certainly we all need that. And we all need provision. And so, Father, bless your people. Not because we deserve it, but because of Christ your Son. We're thankful, perfects our prayers as he lives to make intercession for us. And you respond yes and amen. So we pray that your will would be done. And we pray in his name. Amen.